And everyone, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindbaum, and we are brought to you by the Tilt-to-Kilt Frederick. The Tilt-to-Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilt-to-Kilt Girls. For more on Tilt-to-Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And everyone, we have gone through our first full week of NHL action, which means I actually now have Washington Capitals game breakdowns. And we're just going to jump right into it right here, right now. And we're going to start with Saturday, October 10th, the home opener against the New Jersey Devils. The lineup for the Capitals that game was line one of Alex Ovechkin with Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie. Line two with Marcus Johansson, Andrei Burakovsky, Justin Williams. Line three of Jason Chimera, Jay Beagle, and Tom Wilson. The fourth line comprising of Brooks Like, Michael Latta, and Sean Collins. Defensive pairings were Brooks Orpik with John Carlson, Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, and Nate Schmidt with Dmitry Orlov. The starting goaltender was Braden Holtby. Now, just a note, early in the first period, the top line for the Caps had a great 3-on-1 opportunity, but too many passes killed the play. That is like one of my biggest pet peeves. You just cannot be passing all the time. If you have the opportunity, especially in the slot area, or once you hit the top of the face-off circles, shoot the puck. Because any shot on goal, anyone can go in. Now, game started off with our first penalty going to Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was called for hooking at 10:24 into the first. New Jersey would only get one shot on goal during the entire power play, which was really good because this was Tom Wilson's first crack at doing the penalty kill this season for the Capitals, and he actually looked very good. He was in position, and he was square to the shooters, taking away the point shots. And also the reason this power penalty kill was great for the Capitals was because Jason Chimera scored the first goal of the season for the Capitals shorthanded. It was his first of the season from Justin Williams and John Carlson, both their first assists of the season as well. And then it was followed shortly later on by another Washington goal. Brooks Orpik scored his first goal of the season and first as a Capital, which took him one full season and then one game into the next season to get it, which was assisted by Tom Wilson and Jason Chimera. This was a great play by Tom Wilson setting up Brooks Orpik. He showed great poise and patience when making the pass to Orpik. This was Orpik's first goal as a Washington Capital, as I noted, and that was at 14:32 into the first period. And then not that long after, New Jersey scored at 14:54 into the first period, scored by Adam Henrik, his first of the season, from Jiří Tlusti and Kyle Palmieri. And then at 16:34 in the first, Sean Collins was called for holding. And then at 17:40 on the power play for New Jersey, Eric Jelena from Lee Stempniak and Mike Camilleri scored a bomb from the point. The power play looked a lot better for the Devils on this one, and the PK for the Capitals looked pretty sloppy. Now, analysis for that first period. It was a dreary start for the Caps. The top line of Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Oshie had a golden opportunity with that 3-on-1 earlier that I talked about, but threw it away with too many passes. The Caps were very good on their first penalty kill and scored shorthanded as a result. However, after the goal by Orpik, New Jersey responded quickly by getting back on the board. Now, the Caps took another penalty and were not as good on the PK like they were on the first, and as a result, the Devils were able to tie the game at 2, with a power play bomb by Eric Jelena. The key that the Caps needed to have going into the second period would be to calm down and just play their game and stay out of the penalty box. And then in the second period, the Capitals did in fact stay out of the penalty box, but the New Jersey Devils didn't, because at 14:39, Eric Jelena got called for cross-checking. And then again at 15:01, Lee Stempniak was called for holding. The Capitals, however, were unable to do anything with the 5-on-3 power play opportunity. Now, there are no goals scored, so the analysis for the second period is this was a very sloppy period for the Caps. They were not connecting on their passes, and their communication was not very good. The Caps were fortunate to get a 5-on-3 power play opportunity, but were not able to do much with it. Plus, bad communication at the end of the 5-on-3 power play led to a bad pass that became a breakaway opportunity for Adam Henrik of the Devils. Tom Wilson was hurt blocking a shot which hit him in the back of his leg, but he did return to the game. Key to the third for the Caps were that the Caps needed to wake up and start playing. Need to do better passes and communicate better. And then going into the third period, the New Jersey Devils started the period off by taking a penalty at 3:34 into the third by David Schlemko and called for holding. Then at 6:33 into the third period, Washington got their first goal from Alexander Ovechkin from Matt Niskanen, both their first of the season. This was a great individual effort by Ovechkin, taking it from one end to the other, and then the highlight reel goal where he just turned John Moore into a turnstile and then roofs it to get the lead back for the Capitals. It was a great play. I mean, the one thing that everyone heard when Barry Trotz came in was he wanted Ovechkin to be deeper into the defensive zone because he can get the puck faster, and that's exactly what happened. Matt Niskanen passed it to Ovechkin, who was down by the faceoff circles in the defensive zone, and then took it all the way down and then scored the goal. At 8:33, John Carlson was called for holding, and then at 11:48, Adam Henrik of the New Jersey Devils was called for hooking. On the power play, the Washington Capitals scored their first power play goal of the season from Marcus Johansson, who got the assist from Alex Ovechkin and John Carlson, which was scored at 12:44 in the third. Then at 15:22 in the third, Lee Stempniak of the New Jersey Devils was called for high sticking, which, and this is where it got very, very interesting. When the Capitals were on their power play, New Jersey pulled their goaltender to make it 5-on-5, and the entire play was dominated in the New Jersey end, which then led to what I think I've seen for the very first time, a power play empty net goal by Matt Niskanen from Justin Williams and Dmitry Orlov at 17:07 in the third. This was very interesting to see as the Devils pulled their goalie while on the penalty kill. I've never seen that done before, especially when they're getting dominated in their own zone. It was interesting, and I don't think I'd ever see it again, but if I do, wow. And then, of course, at 18:39, New Jersey got back on the board with a goal from Mike Camilleri, which was unassisted. And then to end the game, you had Quince Domeniners on both Brooks Like and Kyle Palmieri, both for roughing at 19:13 in the third. And as the end result, the Washington Capitals won 5-3 over the New Jersey Devils in their home opener. Shots were 27-25 Washington. Faceoffs were 38-30 Washington. New Jersey was 1-for-3 on the power play, while Washington was 2-for-5 on the power play. New Jersey, however, did outhit the Washington Capitals 32-23 and blocked more shots than the Capitals by 1 with a total of 17-16. The overall analysis is that the Capitals came into the third period focused and ready to play, and Alexander Ovechkin led the charge. The Caps played an overall better game in the third period, and it led them to victory. It was a good win and a great way to start the season. And with that said, we are going to go take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a very special interview with a very special person. Come one, come all to Southern Maryland Comic-Con on Sunday, October 18th at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department in Hollywood, Maryland. Come see special guests like John Fastmorden, Brian Tillman, Bill McKay, and many more. And did we mention that it's only $10 to attend? That's right, only $10 to attend. So go get your tickets today at somdcon.com. That is somdcon.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. We're back from the break, so this is some more serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And joining with me right now, from the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, Mr. John Harrington. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. It's a pleasure to be here, out east, and exciting to be at this show.
Yeah, and for those who are wondering, we are at the CSA show in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information on the show, go to csashows.com. Now, John, first I want to start off with, I was born in 1986, so I wasn't alive for the Miracle on Ice, but I have seen the movie, and I just want to know, being able to talk to you about it, what was it like, that atmosphere, just the training, the playing of the games, and then, of course, the game against the Soviets and then winning the gold?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tremendous experience the whole way through, you know, and to be selected that team. I look back now, and at the time, you know, as a young hockey player, you're going, you know, geez, I expected to do that, and you know, we had a good team, so we thought we were going to do well. But as time has gone on, I certainly have, you know, reconsidered and felt myself now so lucky and so fortunate to have had an opportunity to try out for that team, an opportunity to play for that team. And then getting in the Olympics, you know, you dreamed about results like that, but to have it happen is just such an amazing thing, and just a, like, it was destiny. Like, when we got going, it became destiny.
And by any chance, did you actually see the documentary Red Army, which was about mostly about Slava Fetisov? And they didn't really want to talk about the 80 Olympics much, but it was actually about how the fall of the Soviet Union kind of came about.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really interesting show. Yeah, I did. I saw a premiere of that in Minneapolis, actually, and they had a big group of hockey people there for that. And it was, I thought it was tremendously interesting. And being a kind of a student of the game and the Russian game, and always not idolizing, but just being so intrigued by the Soviet hockey machine, you know, that it was really interesting to me just to learn about. I didn't care what they thought about the 80 Olympics. I mean, but it doesn't matter. I know what happened.
You can see the look on his face.
Yeah, those guys are proud. They're proud players and proud people. And they expected to win, and every time they went, stepped on the ice. So I know that was a big blow to them.
And it's funny, because the one thing that they never mention it when they talk about the Miracle on Ice, they never mention it in the Red Army documentary, but there was one team that beat them, and that was the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, okay.
And they, my dad's a huge Philadelphia Flyers fan, so he always tells me the story about how first game in the Spectrum, the one guy just, the Flyers just like broke their top player's ankle.
Yeah, Bobby Clark broke the top player. Bobby Clark was my favorite player. I mean, he's a guy that I idolized when he first came in, you know, and I wore number 16 for a while. And yeah, then he did that to Karlamov, and I don't know, I kind of lost. That's the way he played. That's the way Bob Clark was.
Old time hockey.
Yes,
sure,
I guess
right
it
there.
Was. Yeah.
Broad Street Bullies.
Right.
But,
right.
But you know, let's actually look more now to the now with the NHL. We just started the kickoff for the 2015-16 season. Last night, of course, we had the Capitals versus the New Jersey Devils, which everyone has already heard my thoughts on that one. And I was just wondering, I'm not asking for predictions because it's so early to tell. What are some things that you're hoping to look forward to this season?
You're talking about the NHL season?
In NHL in general.
Well, I think it's always interesting to see how the young players make adjustments and what type of impact they have. You know, there's always can't-miss players, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel. And, you know, sometimes there's always somebody else that just makes the adjustment or gets the opportunity. And that's always interesting to me, to see how the young players adjust when they come in. Then it's like who's made the trades and who's made some deals that have maybe strengthened their teams. And, you know, in the NHL, usually by the end of the year, it always comes down to goaltending. Whoever has the best goaltending, and that seems to come and go too. So we'll see. I think the teams that have the best goaltending will be the teams that are still playing in the playoffs.
Now, with that said, I would like your thoughts on the 3-on-3 overtime format. We've seen a couple games already. It's like a track meet, honestly. What are your thoughts on that, knowing that they're trying to reduce the amount of shootouts?
Well, I never knew about the 4-on-4 and then the shootout there. And I know they want to get less players out there so they could possibly, you know, finalize games more instead of going to funny hockey, you know. The skills competition, right. But, you know, the one thing I would say about it, and I don't understand why they don't do it, is I think no matter how they finalize a game there, to me, it doesn't make much sense to have a two-point game for 60 minutes of regulation and then it go to a three-point game when you go to overtime. If they're going to be three-point games, then they should be
games. It's still 2 points. There's no point discrepancy. So if you win in regulation, you get 2 points. If you go to overtime, both teams get a point. Well, yeah, that's a three-point game.
It's a three-point game. And to me, at the end of the year, I think if a team wins 5 games in a row in regulation, and they only get 10 points, and a team can lose 5 times in overtime and get 5, that doesn't seem to make much sense to me. So yeah. I think I would like to see them go.
Take away the loser point.
They don't have to take it away. Maybe they should get rewarded for getting into overtime and getting rewarded, but a winner in regulation should get 3 points. I mean, a win in regulation should be worth 3. A loss in regulation should be worth 0, and then when it goes to overtime, which is funny hockey, it's 3-on-3 or it's a shootout, then it's 2-1. But it remains a 3-point game.
Okay, and actually that's the best way I've actually heard it put in a while, actually, because I've heard most people go, oh, well, it's just 3 points. So if you go even if you go into overtime, you know, just take away the loser point, just give all 3 points to the team who wins in overtime or the skills competition. But that actually would be a very good way to set up the point system.
Yep.
Now, you were mentioning earlier that an assistant coach of yours got the head coaching job for the women's team, or a friend of yours did.
No, I'm the head coach.
Oh,
he's
you're the
my
head
assistant coach.
Oh, for the women's team?
I coach at Minnesota State University in Mankato, Minnesota, yes.
Okay, and how do you feel about the National Women's Hockey League that is just starting today?
Yeah, well, it gives a young women a chance to keep playing, you know, and we need that because some of our best players in the U.S. and you know, in North America too, wherever they're playing, I mean, they need a chance to keep playing and developing their skills. And so I think it's great for women's hockey. And I would hope that, you know, some of my players that are playing at Minnesota State University would aspire to be playing in that league when their college careers end.
Yeah, and right now there's only 4 teams. You got the Boston Pride, the Buffalo Buttes, New York Riveters, and the Connecticut Whale. Hopefully this season's a huge success. That way they can move on to expand to get more teams. That way more women are actually given that opportunity to go into the NWHL.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
I'm pushing for a team in D.C. already.
There you go.
I know people are pushing in Minnesota for it too. So
yeah, I imagine so. I mean, there's a lot of very good hockey players in Minnesota.
Okay. And now, last thing, did you see the Caps game last night against the Devils?
No, I didn't. No. I wasn't here last night. No, I just flew in today. So
when you get a chance, take a look at that highlight reel goal that Ovi scored last night against
okay.
the Devils.
Okay. All right.
The individual effort right there, but the great thing about it is that he went end to end. He was deep in the defensive zone all the way into the offensive zone to score. Which is something that we hadn't seen from Ovi until Barry Trotz started coming in and changing his game a bit.
Sure.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But Mr. Harrington, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This is Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans, and we'll be back from the break.
The Experience Hockey Talk would like to thank Rick Denny and CSA Shows for their warm hospitality this past weekend. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or are you looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. I want to thank again the CSA Shows for allowing me the opportunity to interview John Harrington, member of the U.S. Olympic hockey team in 1980, and also Minnesota State Mavericks women's hockey coach. And with that, we're actually going to go into the NWHL report, which is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit derpycon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, Tracy Ramone couldn't be on this episode to give the report, but she will be on next week and every week after to cover the NWHL. So this week, I will be giving the report. Coming up first is the debut game of the NWHL with the Connecticut Whale defeating the New York Riveters 4-1 in their home opener at the Chelsea Piers in Connecticut. In front of a sold-out crowd, history was made as Jessica Kuzumi rifled a shot past Riveters goaltender Nana Fujimoto for the first goal in NWHL history. Two-time U.S. Olympian Kelly Stack picked up a goal and 2 assists as the Whale won the first game in National Women's Hockey League history. Cheyenne Darkangelo and Kelly Babstock also netted goals for the Whale, while Brooke Ammerman scored the lone goal for the New York Riveters. In our second game, we had the Boston Pride defeat the Buffalo Buttes 4-1 in Buffalo, New York at the Harbor Center in Buffalo, New York. Hillary Knight didn't waste any time establishing herself as one of the NWHL's dominant players, scoring the first 2 goals in Boston's victory. Jordan Smelker and Amanda Pelkey also tally for the Pride, while Kelly Stevens scored the first goal in Buttes history on the power play from Emily Falzer and Megan Duggan. Now, with her first week behind us, I just got to throw this out there. Props to John Bouchagross for putting the National Women's Hockey League on SportsCenter. Massive props. His history was legitimately made this past weekend. And I have to just point the finger at the Washington Post and say for shame for not picking that up and covering it. It's bad enough that the Washington Post barely covers the NHL. They don't give you the full box scores of what happens in the games, because they won't give you the penalties or anything like that. They just tell you who scored. You know, the fact that the Washington Post missed out on a golden opportunity to cover history, because this is the first professional women's hockey league in the United States. The fact that the Washington Post just didn't even put in a little blurb, that's stupid. It's disrespectful, and it's a golden opportunity that was missed. And again, massive props to John Buccigross of ESPN, because he did make it a priority to get him on SportsCenter, and that, sir, you get my respect for that. And of course, now with our first week behind us, it is now time to look to the future. And on Sunday, October 18th at 3:30 p.m., the Connecticut Whale visit the Buffalo Buttes at the Harbor Center in Buffalo. And at 7 p.m., the Boston Pride visit the New York Riveters at the Aviator Sports and Events Center. Will the Riveters and Buttes get their first NHL wins, or will the Whale and Pride continue their win streaks? That's the key questions for this weekend. But of course, also going on is that with Breast Cancer Awareness Month going on, the Buffalo Buttes will be wearing special pink uniforms that will be auctioned off after the game, with all proceeds going to breast cancer research. For more information on the National Women's Hockey League, visit nwhl.co, and we will be back after this quick break. The Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit derbycon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, brought to you by Tilted Kilt Frederick. We are getting right back into the Washington Capitals game reviews, and we're going to go to October 13th, where they played the San Jose Sharks in the second of their four-game homestand to open up the season. The lineup for the Capitals was on the first line, left winger Andrei Burakovsky, with center Evgeny Kuznetsov, and right winger TJ Oshie, with the second line being Marcus Johansson with Brooks Like and Justin Williams. Third line, Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. And then the fourth line of Stanislav Gailiev with Michael Latta and Sean Collins. Your defense pairings was Brooks Orpik with John Carlson, Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Nate Schmidt with Dmitry Orlov. And your starting goaltender was Braden Holtby. And the key storyline to this game is that Joel Ward returns to Washington as a member of the Sharks, and Alexander Ovechkin was, at the time, as we knew, was out of the lineup due to personal reasons, which I will get to that after we talk about this game. In the first period, at 4:34 into the game, Jay Beagle was called for slashing, and then later on into it, at 10:41, Brooks Orpik was called for tripping. Now, with that power play for Brooks Orpik and the Boxer tripping, the San Jose Sharks were able to get on the board with a power play goal from Joe Thornton, his second from the season, from Brent Burns and Joe Pavelski at 10:54. Brent Burns recorded his second assist, and Joe Pavelski recorded his third assist of the season. Then at 16:55 into the first, Washington took another penalty by Evgeny Kuznetsov for hooking. The analysis for this first period was that the Capitals had a lack of forechecking in their game during the first period. San Jose dominated the Capitals with speed, skill, and with a better forecheck. After the third penalty kill, Evgeny Kuznetsov created a 3-on-1 break and doesn't shoot the puck when he should have. He went for the pass, and it killed the play. Then, in the second period, San Jose jumped onto the board right away at 2:36 into the second, where Mike Brown scored his first goal of the season with the assist from Chris Tierney. Then, at 7:25 into the second period, Tomas Hertl scored his second goal of the season with assists from Tommy Wingles and Matt Nieto. After that goal was scored by San Jose, the Washington Capitals called their timeout. Then at 9:29 in the second period, Dmitry Orlov looked to have gotten the Capitals on the board and take the lead to 3-1 for San Jose. However, San Jose used their coach's challenge to have Dmitry Orlov's goal waved off due to goaltender interference. Now, after watching the play several times and being a former goaltender myself, I did not view the play as goaltender interference and that it should have been a good goal. But what's done is done, and honestly, I think that killed the momentum that the Washington Capitals created by scoring the goal that Orlov had. And as a result, I think the Capitals just had the wind knocked out of their sails completely after that. And then at 10:56, San Jose's Sharks' Brent Burns was called for high sticking. Now, the analysis for this second period was, it was another sloppy period for the Capitals, still not connecting well on their passes, and were not shooting enough. The power play was not performing well either. As for the disallowed goal, there was no interference by Jay Beagle and Martin Jones. It's a bad call by Tim Peel, but what can you do? You know, there's not a lot you can do. And then going into the third period, you had a lot of penalties and two empty net goals, which was very interesting to see happen. Now, San Jose got a penalty at 35 seconds into the period by Brent Burns going off for hooking. Then at 3:31, Stanislav Galiev got called for holding. And then at 5:33, Jason Chimera was called for unsportsmanlike conduct. Then at 8:34, Barclay Goodrow was called for hooking. And then at 10:39, Brent Burns was called for slashing. Then, this is where it got interesting. With about 5 minutes left in the game, Barry Trotz pulled Braden Holtby while down 3-0. As a result, two empty net goals were scored. The first one was scored at the 18-minute mark, scored by Matt Nieto, which was unassisted. And then the second one was scored at 19:13 in the third by Chris Tierney with an assist from Barclay Goodrow. The end of the game, the San Jose Sharks won 5-0. Outshot the Capitals 32-30, won 30 faceoffs at the Caps 26, was 1-for-5 on the power play where the Caps were 0-for-4. The Capitals, however, did outhit the Sharks 22-11, but the Sharks also blocked 20 shots to the Capitals 12. Overall analysis for this game. Overall, this was a very, very sloppy game for the Capitals. Sure, they were missing Alexander Ovechkin, who was out due to personal reasons, and Nicholas Backstrom, who was on the IR, but still not an excuse to not give it your all. The PK did a good job despite giving up one goal, but the power play was just horrible. Just too many passes and not enough shots. If the Caps hope to contend for the playoffs, let alone go deep in the playoffs, that needs to they need to play a hell of a lot better than they did in this game. And then props to Jason Chimera, hands down the best player on the ice besides Braden Holtby for the Caps. Chimera was generating chances, got 6 shots on goal, and was a threat while on the PK, and was fired up during the entire game. So Jason Chimera was definitely the player of the game. Now, as we mentioned, Alexander Ovechkin was not in the game due to personal reasons. As we found out the next day, the reason for that is because he set his alarm clock wrong and overslept and was late to the morning skate that day. As a result, because of team rules, Barry Trotz benched him. And I just want to say, as a player myself, that was the right move by Barry Trotz. It doesn't matter if you're a star player or a fourth-line guy. You all have to play by the same rules. So if I oversleep and miss practice and I have to miss the game, then the top guy on the team has to miss the game too if he does the same. So I props to Barry Trotz for that. I respect the decision. I respect how Ovechkin handles the situation. And going into the game on October 15th against the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Washington Capitals had Ovechkin back in the lineup on the first line of Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie. Marcus Johansson, Andrei Burakovsky, and Justin Williams was your second line, where your third line was Jason Chimera, Jay Beagle, and Tom Wilson. And the fourth line was Brooks Lake, with Chandler Stephenson making his NHL debut, and Stanislav Galiev. The defense pairings were Brooks Orpik and John Carlson, Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, and Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, who was making his Washington Capitals debut. Braden Holtby was the starting goaltender for the Washington Capitals against the Blackhawks. And in the first period, the first thing that happened was at 8:31, Viktor Tikhonov took a call for interference for going after Tom Wilson for his hit, which was clean, shoulder to shoulder, not on the numbers, on Jonathan Toews. Which, of course, the Washington Capitals responded at 8:48 with the power play goal. TJ Oshie's first as a Washington Capital from Evgeny Kuznetsov and John Carlson. Both the first goal and assist for TJ Oshie and Evgeny Kuznetsov, respectively, and the third assist for John Carlson this season. Then at 17:41, Alexander Ovechkin was called for roughing. Overall analysis for the first period, it was a great first period for the Washington Capitals this season so far. And yes, it's weird to say with only 3 games in, but it was the best this season so far. A lot of energy, great flow, and good physicality. A great job by Tom Wilson to set the tone with his huge hit on Jonathan Toews, which resulted in the power play when Victor Tikhonov retaliated. Overall, it was a great first period for the Washington Capitals. And then in the second period, at 3:09 into the second, John Carlson gets his first goal of the season with the assist from Stanislav Galiev, which was his first assist of the season. Overall analysis for the second period was that the Caps had a good second period. Chicago came out flying, and the Caps handled the pressure very well. Braden Holtby had some big saves and a very nice goal by John Carlson to extend the lead. And then in the third period, at 2:32 into the third, Matt Niskanen scored his second goal of the season, assisted by Marcus Johansson, his second of the season, and Andrei Burakovsky, his first of the season. And then at 3:13 into the third period, my apologies, Chicago got a goal on the board, scored by Victor Svedberg, which is his first NHL goal of his career, which was assisted by Artemi Panarin and Artem Anisimov. Chicago then took a penalty at 5:04 in the third, where Andrew Shaw was called for slashing. And then at 14:18, Alexander Ovechkin netted his second goal of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie. And just like the Marcus Johansson goal in the game against New Jersey, this was another game where Ovechkin was trying to... In the game against New Jersey, Ovechkin was trying to roof it, but it ended up being a pass to Marcus Johansson for the power play goal. Whereas in this game, Alexander Ovechkin was trying to get Evgeny Kuznetsov on the board with a goal, but Kuznetsov passed it back to Alex Ovechkin, who then got his second of the season. Which, by the way, for those who didn't see it, Ovechkin was actually behind the goal line and got his stick on the puck and shot it into the net, which is pure skill. And as a result, the Washington Capitals won their second game of the season 4-1 over the defending Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. Blackhawks had 27 shots to the Caps 24. The faceoffs were even at 23 apiece. On the power play, Chicago only had one and they were 0-for-1, whereas the Capitals were 1-for-2. The hits were 29-16 Washington, and the Capitals had 19 blocked shots to the Chicago Blackhawks 16. The overall analysis for the game was this was hands down the most complete game of the season for the Washington Capitals. And I know it sounds weird saying that for the third game of the season, but when you look at the Capitals this game compared to their first two games against the Devils and the Sharks, those two games looked like preseason games, and this game looked like an actual regular season game. It was like watching a completely different team. Best game of the season, and if the Caps keep playing this way, great things will happen. And with that said, we are going to take a look into the week ahead for the Washington Capitals, as they have four games on tap this week starting today, October 17th, as they end their four-game homestand with a game against the Carolina Hurricanes. And then on Tuesday, October 20th, the Washington Capitals begin their three-game road trip in Western Canada as they take on the Calgary Flames in Calgary, who are currently, at the time of this recording, is 1-3. Then on Thursday, October 22nd, the Capitals go to Vancouver and face off against the Vancouver Canucks, who are currently 3-1-1 as of today. And then end the trip in Edmonton on Friday, October 23rd, where they face Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, who are currently 0-4. And with that, we are going to take a break, and we will go over news and notes. The Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by the Tilted Kilt Frederick. Come join Tilted Kilt Frederick in celebrating their one-year anniversary today, October 17th, where any 20-ounce draft will be $4, and there will also be $3 shooters of Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey and Maestro Double Tequila. Live music with Ghost Pepper will start at 7 p.m., and DJ Xavier will hit the stage at 10 p.m. Tilted Kilt Frederick will also be giving away some awesome Caps tickets along with other prizes. For more information, visit the Tilted Kilt Frederick on Facebook. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. It is now time for news and notes. And we start off with the Florida Panthers on October 10th, manhandling the Philadelphia Flyers. Panthers won 7-1 over the Flyers. Panthers scored 4 goals on 8 shots in 6 minutes 46 seconds into the game to start off their manhandling of the Flyers. Then again, on October 10th, the Senators and Leafs are the first game to go to the shootout. Senators won 5-4 over the Leafs, and Mike Hoffman scored the winning shootout goal in the third round. And again, on October 10th, you had the New York Rangers cruise past the Columbus Blue Jackets. Rangers scored 3 goals in the first 5 minutes 48 seconds into the game. Oscar Lindbergh scored the first 2 goals to start the game. October 11th, Buffalo announced goalie Robin Lehner is out 6-10 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Lehner was injured in Buffalo's season opener. On October 11th, Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand was ruled out indefinitely with a concussion. Marchand sustained a concussion on 10-10 against the Montreal Canadiens. Then on October 12th, the NHL announced 3 stars of the week for the week ending in October 11th. First star was Justin Abdelkader, left winger for the Detroit Red Wings. He had 4 goals, 1 assist, and 5 points in 2 games. And he had a hat trick on October 9th versus Toronto. Second star was Oscar Lindbergh, center of the New York Rangers, where he had 4 goals in 3 games. Sixth rookie in NHL history to register a goal in each of the team's first 3 games of the season. And then the third star of the week was goaltender Mike Smith of the Arizona Coyotes, who went 2-0 with a 1.0 GAA and a .971 save percentage. He won 4-1 over LA on 10-9 with 40 saves and 2-1 over Pittsburgh on 10-10 with 27 saves. Also on October 12th, the St. Louis Blues announced rookie forward Robbie Fabry is out indefinitely with a concussion. Fabry scored his first career goal in his team's season opener against Edmonton last week. Also on 10-12, Steven Stamkos earned his 500th career NHL point as the Tampa Bay Lightning defeated the Boston Bruins 6-3. Stamkos scored the goal on the power play to earn his 500th point. On October 12th, Islanders defeated the Jets to earn their first win at the Barclays Center. The Islanders defeated Winnipeg 4-2, and Jonathan Tavares scored the first game-winning goal in New York Islander history at the Barclays Center. October 12th, Jack Eichel powers the Sabres to their first win of the season. Buffalo defeated Columbus 4-2. Jack Eichel scored the game-winning goal and his second of the season. And on 10-12, the Philadelphia Flyers defeated the Panthers 1-0 in their home opener after being embarrassed by Florida 7-1 on 10-10 in Florida. Michael Neuwirth has had his first start as a Flyer and posted a 31 save shutout to earn his first win as a Flyer. On October 13th, Connor McDavid scored his first career goal, but Jason Spezza of the Dallas Stars scored his sixth career hat-trick to lead Dallas to a 4-2 win over McDavid and Edmonton. This was McDavid's third NHL game. On October 14th, the Nicholas Backstrom had been announced cleared by the doctors to start doing contact drills. Capitals coach Barry Trotz says Backstrom will be day-to-day. And on October 14th, Michael Neuwirth earns his second straight shutout as the Flyers blank the Blackhawks 3-0 on Kimmo Timonen night. Neuwirth made 30 saves to earn his ninth career shutout. And on October 14th, the Coyotes defeated the Ducks 4-0 to go 3-0. Rookie Anthony Duclair recorded his first career hat-trick, and Mike Smith made 37 saves to record his 28th career shutout. And on October 15th, Montreal blanked the New York Rangers 3-0 to go 5-0 to start the season for the first time in franchise history. Carey Price stopped all 25 shots to record his 35th career shutout. Also on October 15th, Penguins are flawless against the Senators in their first win of the season. Marc-Andre Fleury recorded his 39th career shutout. Daniel Sprung, a second-round pick in the 2015 draft, scored his first NHL goal in his fourth NHL game. And finally, on October 15th, the Blues spoiled McDavid's home debut. This time, yet again, the Blues doing it to the Edmonton Oilers, defeating the Oilers 3-1 in the Oilers' home opener and McDavid's home debut in Edmonton. On October 16th, Sharks announced that Logan Couture suffered a broken fibula, announced that he will be out 4-6 weeks. Logan Couture suffered the injury during practice on 10-15. On the 16th of October, the NHL announced that Nikita Nesterov of the Tampa Bay Lightning has been suspended 2 games for boarding Dallas Stars forward Curtis McKenzie on 10-15. On 10-16, Carolina defeated Detroit for their first win of the season. The loss is the first loss for the Detroit Red Wings this season. And on 10-16, the Toronto Maple Leafs defeated the Columbus Blue Jackets 6-3 for their first win of the season. The loss is Columbus's fifth straight and are now 0-5 this season. And with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindbaum. This is Serious Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. And you can follow us on Twitter at Experience Hockey Talk and Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And as always, the Experience Hockey Talk from here and forever is brought to you by the Tilt-A-Kilt Frederick, the Tilt-A-Kilt Pub and Eatery located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilt-A-Kilt Girls. For more information on Tilt-A-Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today, and happy one-year anniversary, Tilt-A-Kilt Frederick. I'm Michael Lindbaum, and until next time, we'll see you guys on the ice.